basis, how we stack up on this, plus that formula that they're developing, HDR is presenting, is close to that, so they would recognize what we're doing.
That's right.
Now, the other thing that is I've been talked to by both racetrack people and by the airport about what we're going to do down there, and I said, guys, hang on. Our committee's starting some stuff to try and figure out some of this stuff, so before you go kick up a bunch of dust with a bunch of people, let us see where we're, how this is all coming out. And so I have talked with both of them about that. The airport's deeply concerned because they had a commitment when they went there from GEP or Glenn Patch that they were going to put that interchange on 65. Well, they're bankrupt. So that's now the airport's saying, well, what are we going to do? And Patch and them said, well, we're going to do a housing development. We'll come the back roads, and too bad for you. Well, if we've got the racetrack as a possibility, we've got the airport as a sure thing, and we've got a potential that when traffic demands it, 265-465 intersection has an interchange. All of those are within about a mile and a half of each other. So maybe some of that stuff could get figured out, and we could do something pretty smart. But I don't want to say anything until we get a chance to figure out what our matrix looks like. And then what would we have available as a county to do some kind of a local or regional match and not shut out all the other projects in the road and bridge budget? What could we do to do that? Mm-hmm. Then there's a little component to this that we need to go to the Transportation Planning Commission or Planning Advisory regionally and ask them to help prioritize some of the stuff in their stuff. But the key to this thing is that document, and if King can get us farther down the road on that, that would be a piece.
Well, not only that, but MoDOT, once they see that we've got these projects already engineered somewhat, got a cost analysis out there, we may be many steps ahead of some of these other counties in the state, especially in District 8, that don't have that. And we may, when there's money available, we may need to react just like that. And if they haven't got their stuff together, guess what? We come first.
And we're in some good advantage here because District 8 I think it's the only region that has rural and urban funds both. And so we have a little protection, a little shelter against Springfield and some of the urban areas. So if we're ready to compete, we could be pretty good shape to get some money.
Isn't it? Well, it kind of concerns me a little bit. I'm not against us going ahead with the plans, but, you know, about everything you would do would have to take matching funds. I just can't see right now us coming up with matching funds out of the county budget.
You never know when the state's going to find some money.
I know.
Or the feds.
I understand that.
Or
yeah.
The feds. You see,
well, I don't know.
You just never know when they're going to find some money. Yeah. And this is a term out there that you know, they can pick the phone up and say,
right,
found some money.
Right.
How much? 10 million.
You're ready. So, yeah.
Which King just pointed out, because this program was closed on the end of January,
yeah,
and now there's some money.
Right.
They found some money.
Right.
The other thing, and the way they find money is other counties don't execute. And if they don't use that money, it gets turned back to the Treasury. It doesn't even go back to the Transportation Department. It goes back to the Treasury of the United States, and it's gone from everybody. So they really want you to build your roads.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're ready to do the classic example is the bridge. We're all ready to step up and build a bridge, and they said, "Look, we got enough money for a small project, $12 million to them was small. Well, for us, it was huge, but they didn't have any that fit that, so we got that money because we were ready to go. And if we can do that, now the machine hasn't gobbled us up. We still don't pull the trigger. If we don't have the money to do it, when even though we got the plan, we got the engineering, we got everything, but we don't have the rest of the matching money, we just say, well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to pass on this one. And it's there. But if we could make it work, the other thing is most everybody here is business people or involved with public budgets. When we can put double our money, the $4,000, and we can get $8,000 back, or if we can put in a small amount of money and double, triple, quadruple it, I think taxpayers would think we were pretty good stewards of their resources if we could triple that on things we really need. And I think that's what we're, hopefully that's what I hope we can posture to do.
So. That was my point on the developer maybe helping us with those matching funds, Trevor.
Yeah, I just figured they're going to be short money, though.
Yeah, David. Good problem.
And that's part of the thing that people will have to stop and realize. When you're talking transportation, MoDOT doesn't think next year. They think in a five-year cycle and beyond. So we're talking about things that are big enough. You're not talking about what's going to happen in May this year. You're talking about what's going to happen in May of 2016 or whatever. So what you start today isn't going to happen in May. It comes to fruition down in the future, but if you don't start it today, you're 5 years out all the time. You never get to that point. And what happens in other places, if you fix a section of a county road, and now it's easier to get to the state highway there, now the state highway becomes the bottleneck, MoDOT starts getting calls, then they have to redivert their efforts and fix their system to match what's happened. So if you have a developer come in, and he builds a three-lane section up to their two-lane section, now they're forced to have to go ahead and make things that they sit in Springfield and they make decisions for Southwest Missouri, sometimes based on what you all want, sometimes not so much based on the phone calls they get on what their priorities are. So when you plan these things and when you get this stuff set out and you have that list you can look at, and you can work with developers and everything come along, you have that ability then to affect what their plan is. You have the ability to nudge them in a direction you'd prefer them to go than instead of them going in the direction they were going to go anyway. But transportation is a long, slow, dragged-out thing.
Discretionary money, they also have discretionary money that's outside of the normal stuff, and if they choose to give us some of that to help us with our match, which they have in a number of our projects, if we're well planned and well organized, they may shift a little money to give us because they have that ability to do that. So I just think it's positive if we can get that all down, and I think it'll happen in bites.
We were ready to vote. We had discussion, and then
I forgot what the motion was. What's your motion?
Where's the motion back?
Been too long. You remember what it was.
Do you want your last motion? Okay. Brian Capert has moved to have Great River represent TEAP Engineering work on master plan to the county commission. Buddy Roberts seconded the motion. The motion passed by voice vote.
Motion passed by voice vote. I didn't know that we voted.
We messed up.
Motion passed by voice vote? Okay.
And then Charlie brought up the question.
Okay. Charlie was
done. We were talking about Brandy is in with the county commission, or talking to the county commission, I think is kind of where we were when. Yeah, thank you. When we got.
Okay. We got
I think that's where we were.
All right.
I'd like to take that step forward. I think I would make a motion. We make a request to commission that Randy would liaison between this board and the county commission at that time.
Any discussion on that motion? Okay. Seeing then, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. So the motion to have. How did you request that Randy be the liaison?
Request that Larry be our liaison request. Person. We need to get somebody, Randy, I'm not saying somebody, but Randy. And I'm sure that probably Randy will kind of work with Great River in discussions on some of the stuff, too.
Okay. Any other items under the general topic of transportation projects?
I think, of course, you heard my discussion about the interchanges on 65. That was something that I just want to make everybody aware that I've been contacted by a number of these interests, and I've just asked them to give us a couple of months here to sort through our projects, and then once we get that, we'll be better able to talk about it. Now, a couple of months to some of these guys is a big deal, particularly the racetrack. So we just need to make sure that we really do that, or otherwise they're going to have to go on without us and get some stuff. So, and the other thing that kind of to the racetrack, they're not, at least the preliminary stuff that they've talked to me about, they're not saying that they have to have an interchange on day one. Storage lanes, a cheaper fix on the highway might get them everything they need initially, and then later on that needs to, but it needs to be part of the out-year plans to where that's going to go and all that kind of stuff.
Whose area is that?
It's mine.
So, yeah.
What is DNR? What's the status right now on that?
It's my understanding, and I'm not in that loop, but it's my understanding that the DNR is leveraging a series of fines, levying a series of fines against them. So,
only because they didn't have correct permits. But
and there's a legal stance that they're doing agricultural clearing.
Have you seen or
that's hampered by news articles saying they're building a racetrack?
Do they have any type of preliminary feeling or design or discussion with you in regard to how they're going to handle traffic? We're talking 80,000 people. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. 80,000 people, two people a car, that's 40,000 cars a day on any given day.
And fundamentally, I guess there's a couple of things. In global terms, they've looked at some of the other racetracks that have a similar capacity and what happens. First of all, the facts bearing on the issue is that it only happens maybe 3 days a year.
Oh.
So as far as that number of people, now there may be other days. They're talking having 100, over 100 events a year, but some of that may be motocross, some of that may be
monster truck, demo derby,
whatever. And so they're talking in those kinds of crowds about 10, 12,000 cars a day. I can tell you that, for example, like the NAIA tournaments in Hollister that just completed, their biggest crowd's a little under 5,000. But they also have all of these things. So if they have two of those events a day, that is several thousand cars a day, and you really don't see that so much in the format that 65 is in now. But when you get into that 20, 30,000 cars a day, that's when you start getting into that. They say that in some of these places there are not interchanges that handle the racetracks, that there are actually storage lanes and just getting the traffic off to the side of the road and leaving three lanes full. That doesn't account for the growth of 65 and the growth of Highway 86. Now, is the question ultimately, I guess what I'm kind of posing is the best access to the airport the current access road to the airport? If you look on a map, the racetrack is immediately west of the airport. Could one interchange serve both facilities in a better way than the existing airport having its route in and out and the racetrack having its route in and out? Plus, there's some other things that are of interest here. We lose a great deal of revenue in Taney County, economic development revenue, because we do not have sophisticated rail, air, highway interface. And between the airport and the racetrack is the rail line. Could we do something there that would serve rail interface, air, and the racetrack all in one project that could really do a lot of things? It's gone now, so I can talk about it, but we had an aircraft manufacturing plant that would have went to the airport in 2 seconds flat. Mm. Would have brought good jobs, everything. Airport doesn't have a lot of traffic in and out. It has a very simple way in and out. So these kinds of guys are always looking for a place to be. But airframes come in on rail. The engines come in on rail. And they've got to get them close to the airport before they can pick them up and put them in airplanes. And it was the remanufacture of trainer jets for the Air Force and the Navy, and it was a really good project. And we had everything we need except we couldn't do this railing.